We're on Daf Heyam and Aleph, seven lines down from the top. And we're looking for the authorship of our Mishnah, assuming that our Mishnah does not require Akira or Hanocha from a Makom Arba Tfachim al Arba Tfachim, because the Yad from which the Chafetz was picked up, the Akira, or into which the Chafetz was put down, is not a Makom Dalet al Dalet, and yet the Mishnah says Yechayev. Elam Rab Zera Hamani, who is the author of Mishnah who doesn't require Makom Dalet al Dalet for Akira and Hanocha? Acherim hi. Tisanya. Now Acherim, the Gemara tells us in Horios, is Rabbi Meir. Achirim Omrim. A person throws an object to his friend. Amad bimkomo, if his friend stays stationary. And it's 4 amos away from the Zorik in Rishus HaRab Vekibel, and he receives the object. Chayev, the Zorik is Chayev because of Mavre Dalet Amos Rishus HaRab. Okar Mimkomo, if the Makabel runs and grabs the object in flight, the kibel, and he now has the object, Potter, the Zorik is Potter, because the Hanoch doesn't relate to the Akira. The Hanoch was done by the recipient who was Okir Mimkomo and intercepted the object in flight. So he created a Hanocha, which was not the Hanocha that was inherent in the Zrika. Hence the Zorik is Potter, because he doesn't have a Hanocha. Now, the Makabel is the one who made the Hanocha. He's not Chayev because he only made a Hanocha. The Zorik is not Chayev because he was only Okir. And no one could be held responsible for the Malacha Shlema. And no one, therefore, could be Chayev. So the Gemara now analyzes. Amad bimkomo v'kibel Chayev. Where did the object land? It landed in the hands, let's say, of the Makabel. And the Zorik is Chayev. Habi'inon hanoch al gabi mokom arba al arba tvachim v'leko. The object did not land on a secure place that's 4x4. Elishmami, no, we see from here the Echirim hold to lo be'ina mokom arba, that even in an area that's smaller than Arba al-Arba, that constitutes a Makom Hanocha. Again, we don't know about Akira yet, but at least as far as Hanocha, we see clearly that Rabbi Meir doesn't require a Hanocha Gabi Dalet al-Dalet, and Yechayev, even though you didn't have a Hanocha of Dalet on a Makom Dalet al-Dalet. Our Mishnah reflects the sheet of Achirim, that the Akira and Hanocha in the Yad of the Balabayis is Mechayev the Oni, a Kor Mechatos, despite the fact that the object was taken or put down on a place that's less than Dalet al Dalet. Frekting Amar Vidilma, there's no proof from the Achirim except for Anocha Udlo Be'inon, that you don't require Dalet al Dalet Anocha. Ha Akira Be'inon, but it's very possible that Akira, to start the malacha, the object must be removed from a place that's arba al arba. And the Gemara thinks now that hanocha is just a siyum of the malacha. It's not really an essential part of the malacha. We just need some termination of his otzah or his rika, and that for that you don't need a dalet al dalet. But Akira, which begins the malacha, means that the malacha is taking it out of a place, but it's not an insecure makom if it's not dalet al dalet. And therefore, the Gemara says, "Ha Akira be'ino, we would require, even according to the Achirim, a makom dalet al dalet for the Akira." And in our Mishnah, we don't require a makom dalet al dalet, because if the Ani picks it up from the hands of the Balabais, or vice versa, the Balabais picks it up out of the hands of the Ani, they're Chayev. Hence you see that you don't need an Akir from Akum Dalet al Dalet. And there's no proof that the Akhirim would accept that. We only know that the Akhirim would hold that in Hanoch you don't need Dalet al Dalet. Furthermore, the Gemara asks another kasha. Hanoch Hanami, even with regard to Hanoch, I don't know what you can prove from the Akhirim. Can you really prove conclusively that according to Achim you don't need a Hanocha Gabi Makom Dalet al Dalet Dilma perhaps? We're not talking about a case where his friend received the object that was thrown to him in his Yad, but rather the Poshet Kanfei V'Kibleh. he grabbed hold of the corners of his cloak and lifted up the corners of his cloak, and he received the object inside the, so to speak, the pocket of his cloak. Deikanami hanocha b'mokam dalet al dalet, the knaf of his beged, that corner of his beged is wide, is for tfachim wide. So you cannot bring any proof from the achirim, as if to say the achirim do not require mokam dalet al dalet hanocha. Could very well be that we're talking about a case where there was hanocha al dalet al dalet. So now we're back to the original question. How does this din that underlies our Mishnah, that Yechayev, even for hanocha, which is less than dalet al dalet, why is that so? Rabbi Abba says, Masnisin kegon sha'okra mitraskal, that the Ani was not holding the object in his hand, or vice versa, if the Akira's from the Baal Bais, the Baal Bais was not holding the object in his hands, but rather he's holding it in a traskal, some sort of a sal, some sort of a basket that has dalel damit tvachet. So the Ani or the Asher, depending on which scenario you're talking about, is holding on to a traskal. In fact, then, we need, even according to our Mishnah, Hanocha Akira from Yorkum Dalet al Dalet. And here in the case of Traskal, the Ika Nami. So again, you have Kigon Sha Okra Mi Traskal, now you have Hinicha Mi Traskal, the Ika Nami, Hanocha, in a Mokum that's Dalet al Dalet. So we're asked by Yodok Tani, how are you going to push into the Mishnah the word traskal, as if to say the object was received in a traskal? It doesn't, there's no hint of that at all in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Nosan o notal biyodo. The Gemara says, Tni v'traskal shebiyodo. We have to change the language of our Mishnah so that it reads traskal shebiyodo. And the Mishnah is telling us that the Oni who's out in Rishus HaRavim, he is certainly standing on a Mokum Dalet. He puts the object into the Traskal, which is being held up, which is in the hands of the Baal HaBayis. Or the Oni alternatively takes the Chefetz out of the Traskal, which is in Vyodo Shel Baal HaBayis. And in these cases, there will be a chiyuv because of an akiru hanocha mimokum dalet al dalet. Because either the object was placed in the traskal that's being held by the Baal HaBayis, or it's being taken out of the traskal that's in the yad of the Baal HaBayis. And in these cases of otzah, we have otzah that was comprised of a hanocha, which was preceded by an akira, and all this was from a mokum dalet. But the Gemara says that if you want to assume that our Mishnah in Oker Umeniach is talking about a sal, this traskal, then we're going to have to interpret the Mishnah against, that it comes out against Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Ha'atenach, this answer, the Gemara, can be acceptable, but traskal birshus hayochid, which means if the Ani stretches his hand into birshus hayochid and he takes the object out of the traskal that's being held by the Baal HaBayis inside the birshus hayochid, is that makes sense that the hanocha of the object was on a place that's arba al arba. So that's in the case where the traskal is being held by the Baal HaBayis. Let's read it again. V'traskal shebiyad Baal HaBayis. Fine. So Baal Bais and the Mishnah say Yochid, he's holding on to a Traskal. The Oni was Okir the Chayfetz from the Traskal. That's fine. But what are you going to do with the following case? So Traskal Biad Ha'oni, we were talking about Traskal Biad Baal Bais. Now let's put the Traskal out in Rishus HaRabim, in the hands of the Oni. Now, what's the deal with the Traskal that's being held by the Oni? Well, guess what? That Traskal has a din of Rishus HaYochid. As we'll soon see in Rabbi Yossi review the statement. You can't be Mechayv the Baal Bais who puts the object into a Sal if that Sal is itself Rishus HaYochid. We want to be Mechayv him for Hotzol Rishus HaRabim. But here, he doesn't have Otson to Rishus HaRabim because the status of the Traskal is Rishus HaYochid. For the mission is predicated on the assumption that the Oni represents Rishus HaRabim. And if he has a hand that's right next to his body, that hand is in Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, if the Ashir puts the object into the hand of the Ani in Rishus HaRabim, that's Melecha Es Hotzah. But now we're saying that the object is not going into the hand of the Ani, who's in Rishus HaRabim, but rather it's going into the Traskal that he's holding in Rishus HaRabim. Well, the Traskal itself has a din of Rishus HaYochid. And this will become clear when we get to Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda in just a minute. So Memela, the Mishnah that assumes that postulates that the Baal Bais will be chayv when he puts the object down in the what we thought was the hand of the Ani, but rather now it's the Sal that's being held in the hand of the Ani. Well, that's not called Ot Sol Rishus HaRabim if the Sal has the dimensions of Arba Amos. When I say Arba Amos, let me correct myself. The Sal, the Traskal, has a din of a Rishus HaYochid because it's Rachov Arba al Arba Tvachim. If I said Arba Amos, I apologize. It means Arba Tvachim. And the Traskal, let's say, for example, goes above Yud Tvachim, so you're already out of Rishus HaRabim. So even though the Oni is holding on to this Traskal, the Oni is in Rishus HaRabim, but the Traskal is not in Rishus HaRabim. It's above 10 Tvachim, and it has a Rochav of Arba al Arba Amos. So the Gemara says, Lema, are you now going to assume that our Mishnah, in the case of Oker Meniach from a Traskal, is against Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda? The Sanya we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, not Kona Rishus HaRabim. He puts up a pole in Rishus HaRabim. He inserts the pole into the ground and it's going horizontal. Barosh on its top, the top of this Kona, there's a Traskal, which is a basket that is 4x4 tfachim. If that be the case, Zorak v'nochal gabov chayev. If somebody stands in Rishus HaRabim and takes a chayvetz and he throws it into the traskal, he's chayev. Why? Because that's called hachnosa mirishus HaRabim l'rishus HaYochid. And we clearly see here that a kona, which is holding a traskal, that traskal, because of its width, becomes a rishus yochid. So Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda holds that the traskal has a din of rishus hayochid. It has the rochav, the width of arba al arba tfachim, and therefore, if somebody stands in rishus rabbi, throws the object, and it lands inside the traskal, he's chayiv because of hachnosi. He took an object from Rishus HaRabim and he put it into Rishus HaYochid. And now, if we're going to say our Mishnah is talking about a case of Akira Mitraskal in order to satisfy the requirement of Arba, and Anocha likewise with Ohan Shaskal, then we're not going to be able to understand that Mishnah. The Iker Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, is Poshad Balabaises Yodel Lechutz, Vinosan Lutok Yodoshal Oni. The Mishnah establishes that there's a case where Yechayv, the Balabais extends his hand with an object in it outside of his personal domain, private domain, Rishus HaYochid. And he places it into the yad of the oni, and the oni is holding. Well, the oni is stationary. His body is in Rishus HaRam, but he's holding on to the traskal. And if that be the case, then the object went from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid. My chayev, the usher was in the Rishus HaYochid. He threw or place the object down into the traskal of the hands of the oni outside of the Rishus HaRam and the Rishus outside the Rishus HaYochid, but nevertheless the traskal itself has a din of Rishus HaYochid. So how can our Mishnah say that he's chayiv in this case? So the Gemara answers, Afilu Tema Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. You can still interpret our Mishnah reflecting Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda's view. When the Baal Bayis places something into this traskal that's being held in the hands of the oni, and the Mishnah says he's chayev, that's not a stira to Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda. Why? The hasam be not kana. In the case of not kana, which we said that the kana was situated in Rishus HaRavim, the Traskel is Lamala Me'asar Tvachim, so the Traskel is no longer in Rishus HaRavim. And then we're going to apply the principle of Godasig Mechitzos. We're going to define the Mechitzos as Nimshachos Klapi Matar HaKark, as if they were, again, it's all imaginary, as if the Mechitzos had extended all the way down to the bottom floor of the apartment. When I say the bottom floor, so the Gemara is now going to try to reconcile Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda with our Mishnah. Our question again, let's review. In the case where the Baal Bayis puts the chefetz into the traskel in the hands of the oni, the Mishnah says he's chayev. How could it be chayev when basically it's going from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaYochid? The Gemara says, no. It all depends upon Lamayla Me'asar or Lamata Me'asar. Afilu Tema, even if you'll say that Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, we can still interpret that the Baal Bayis, when he places the object into the Sal that's in the hands of the Ani, he could be Chayev. Why? Because Hasam, that means over there, in the case of Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, that's called the Noatz Kana case. We're talking about the Traskel L'mayla Me'asar Tvachim. It's above Asar Tvachim from the Karka. And therefore we view the Mechitzos, the outer walls of the Traskel, as Godasik Mechitzos. They go all the way up, all the way down, they go down to the Karka, and they're considered a mokom mukaf mechitzas asara, and therefore Rabbi Yosi considers this traskel as a rishus hayochid. Again, the whole yisod of Rabbi Yosi Yehuda is that the traskel has a din of a rishus hayochid. The reason for that is because it's above asar tvachim, and therefore the mechitzos that go from the bottom, from the floor, the imaginary mechitzos, all the way up to the walls, the outer walls of this traskal, which is asar tvachim, that makes it into a makom mukaf mechitzos asara, and that makes it into Rishus HaYochid. But hacha, here in our Mishnah, we're talking about a traskal of matame asara, and therefore, even if you'll apply the principle of godasik mechitzos, and you'll take the mechitzos of the traskal and you'll go down towards the karka, it still would not be asar tvachim, and it cannot be considered a rishus hayochid, and therefore remains a Rishus HaRab. Now, you might say that if the Sal is above 3 Tfachim from the Karka, it's considered a Karbalis. But the answer to that is Ein Karbalis V'Kelim. And Rashi is going to make a big deal about that later on when we get to Daf Ches Amid Aleph. And it's really interesting because it becomes clear that if it's not a Karbalis in the case of Kelim, then it's Rishus HaRab Doraisa. And therefore he'd be Chayev a Chatos. And that's fine. So again, the Balabayas, when he takes the object out of Rishus HaYochid, he puts it into the Sal and the Ad of the Onis Chayev, even according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, because now we're saying that the Traskel is L'matame Asura. If it's Matame Asura, the Keli is not a Rishus HaYochid, but rather it's Rishus HaRab, and that's why he's Chayev. So the Gemara now asks Akasha on this answer of the Abba, and that is Kasha le Rabbi Avo. What was the Kasha of Rabbi Avo on the teretz that we just had in the name of Rabbi Abba? The Rabbi Abba wants to say our Mishnah is talking about a case, a scenario where the Oni is holding on to a Traskal, or the Balabais is holding on to the Traskal. Frekta Gemara, Mi Katani, does it say Traskel Shebiyado? Hayado Katani. We should not interpret the Mishnah as referring to a Traskel, that the Oni is holding a Traskel. It says Biyado. Elam Rabbi Avo, what's the case of our Mishnah? Kagon Sheshilshel Yado Lamata Mishlosha. That he was mashpil, he was manmich his yad below 3 tfachim, somach lekarka, v'kibla, and that's where he received the chefetz. Or from there, the chefetz was nekar. And that's considered as if the chefetz was munach al gabi karka itself, even though it's in the yad, but since the yad is below 3 tfachim, therefore it's considered munach al gavi kark. The kark goes up 3 tfachim. That's what we call love. It's ka'ara de smichtadam. Well, it's considered as if the anocha was on the kark itself, which is certainly a makom that has arba and alva tfachim. So the Gemara asks the question, va'omein ketani. The Mishnah says that the oni is standing in the outside in Rishus HaRabin. So are you telling me that it's Yodo Smuchel Karka? If he was sitting down, then you could say Yodo Smuchel Karka. He's sitting on a low bench and he stretches his arm out below 3-12. But when you're talking about Omed, it's a bit far-fetched to say that Omed means that his hand is below 3-12 while he stands up. So the Gemara tries to give a little bit more of a push here and refurbish the words of Rabbi Avo. It doesn't mean that when he puts his yad below 3 tfachim he's standing, but rather bishocha, that the Mishnah is talking about a case where he sort of leans, you know, his body is bent over. It's not a vertical amida, but rather he's tilting his body towards the kark, and he comes close to the kark itself. His yad is within the 3 tfachim from the kark up. Ibai Seima or else Beguma. Maybe we're talking about a case where there was they dug a hole in the kark, so his hands are close to the outside, the lip of this guma, of this ditch, if you will. And that's the kark of Rishus HaRabim. The Rishonim point out that if he's standing in Rishus HaRabim in this guma, we have to assume that it's a guma which is Rab Mishtamshim, but in order to give it a status of Rishus HaRabim, or Mishameshes Lehiluch Rabim, that people go down into the guma when they get to the other side. If there's no Shemesh Rabim, it would be considered a Karmelis, or maybe a Mokum Ptur, there would be no Chiyu. And the third answer the Gemara gives is Vibais Ema Binanos. We're talking about a very low stature, means a midget of some sort, and he's standing the way he's standing, and his yad reaches close to the kark. So the Gemara now asks Akash on this teretz that that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Mishal Shal Yodu Lamata Mi Shlosha Tvachim. Rabbi Yafo's teretz Amar Rava Ichpal Tana Lashmina Kolhani, with a Tana bothered to teach us a Chiddush in the Dinim HaHotzah Shabbos in these very strange, odd, dechukim cases. That's not the way people normally would be Motzi and Machnis in a case of Kfufin or Amdu Beguma. Why would the Mishnah address such weird cases, such rare cases? I mean, the simple pshat, the Mishnah is about Bais took the chefetz out into Rishus HaRabim. The Oni extended his arm inside the Rishus HaYochid and put it into the hands of the Baal Bais, Arba Arbavis, or some sort of again, if it would be Knaf Bigdo, as we said before, maybe it would have a din of Arba al Arba. But to say we're talking about these weird cases that are so nearly impossible, we're talking about a Guma, and we're talking about a Shocha, we're talking about a Nanos, Ella Omar Rava, and this Rabosai is the culmination of what we've been learning now for 2 days. And this is the most famous statement we can say about Yadav Shel Adam in everything that we've been learning in terms of Hanocha and Akira. Ela Amar Rava, Yadav Shel Adam, Chashuv Lo Kimakom, Arba Al Arba. We don't need Arba. There's no Gzeres HaKosav. It has to be Arba Al Arba. It has to be some sort of a secure place. It's not, hanging on to the top of some very thin pole that could be blown over by the wind. It's in his yad. And the yad has the status, al pi din, of a makom arbal arba tfachim. And the reason for that is because of tfisa, because he can be tofis at the yad, and we generally put all sorts of objects into our hand. So the yad is considered a makom choshev. It's considered arba al arba for hanocha, and then it becomes like a makom arba al arba for akir as well. V'chein ki asa Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar, he said the name Rabbi Yochanan. He was one of the two talmidim that brought all the shmuas from Rabbi Yochanan to Bavel. Yadav Shel Adam chashuv lo karba al arba. I'm not sure why the extra word lo has to be. I thought it would be a little more clear if the Gemara had left out the word lo. What is some sort of subjective dalet al dalet? The yad is dalet al dalet. Maybe the word lo here is sort of like a hint as to why the yad is considered a makom dalet al dalet, because lo, meaning for him, it serves as a makom tfisa, and it's a secure place that he grabs something for himself. So the Rishonim here are bothered. Why does Rava feel compelled to interpret our Mishnah that Yodo is Chashuv Lo Karba Arba? Why couldn't he just simply interpret the Mishnah that since his Machshava was to put it down into his hand, the Machshava itself makes it into a Makom Chashuv? That's Royal Hanocha. As the Gemara says in Erevin Daf Tzadi Tes, V'mashtin O Yorek Mershus HaYochim Mershus HaRabim, O Zorek, Shizorek Lefi Akelev, O Lefi Akivshon. That's not a Mokum Dalet al Dalet when he throws it into the mouth of the dog or into the oven or so forth and so on. In all those cases, it's not a Mokum Dalet al Dalet. But Machshavto, the Gemara says, Machshiva Sam Mokum Umischayev al Kach. So Tosus back on Daf Dalet Omid Beis, Dira Masel Elo, says that we only apply this machshava dika halacha, the ratzon shel olam, the machshavta makes the makom into makom choshev. That only applies in a place where he wants to put it down dafka at this particular spot, and there's no other possibility for a kiyum ritzono. So mashti v'yorek, he can't do it in any other way. Or zorik via kelev, he wants the kelev to eat it or play ball with it. And Pia Kimshon, he wants to burn something inside a furnace. In all these cases, he has a ratzon fanoch b'makom mesuya, and no other makom will do for him. That's considered being machshiv the makom. But here, he doesn't care whether it goes into the hands of the oni or the hands of the balabai, dafka, not dafka b'makom zeh. And therefore that makom has to be a makom chashuv, and that's why Rava says Yadushal Adam Chashuva Kedalat Al Dal. What's a little bit odd is the assumption that in the case of Mashtin or Yorek, there's no other way, it's got to be in that makom. Not sure exactly what he means by that. The Ramban brings a Tosfos that Mashtin is Nastes Machshavto Legamrei, Aval Kan Lo Nastes Legamrei She'eniker Machshavo L'Seisa Ochlim V'Yodo El Mishum Shetzorach L'Achilom O L'Shtamish Bahem. So that's what we have here. So the Gemara asks the following question. My kamashman, why did Rabbi Yochanan have to teach that Yodo Shalom Chashuv lo karban v'ha Omer Rabbi Yochanan chad zimna? Why did Rabbi Yochanan feel compelled to repeat himself? One time should have been enough. Mal detem, the Gemara answers, Hani mili, when does Rabbi Yochanan say that Yodo Chashuv karban v'ha heichu di achshvehu li yadeh? It's only in a scenario where he was machshiv his friend's yad. And how do we know this? Because he placed the object into the hand of the balabai. So that's called machshiv. In a case where he wasn't machshiv his yad chavero, and he didn't have kavana to put it in the hand of his chavero, the chifetz sort of fell on its own into the yad chavero, emolo, we would say perhaps that that's not considered dalet al dalet. It's kamash malon. That's what Rabbi Yochanan wants to tell us, that even in a situation where he was zorik the chefetz and it fell by itself into the yad of chavero, and it wasn't through kavanas zorik that dafket should go into yad chavero, is even in such a case the yad is considered arba lama, because we don't need the achshave. We have the objective status of the yad. The yad is a very, very powerful instrument, and that makes it into a makom choshev hanochen hakira as if it were dalid al dalid. Omer Rabbi Ovin, Omer Rav Eloy, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. The case we're dealing with now is he was zorik the chefetz into his friend's hand. His friend is 4 amos away from him. Rishus Rav the Omad v'mkom of a kibel. If the recipient did not move from the spot, that he just simply passively lets the object fall into his hands, so the zorik is chayev because he's meniach es hachefetz piyad chaver sha'omad bimkomo, but in okar bimkomo, if the recipient moved and made his own artificial hanoch of a kiblo potter, the zorikil pi potter, because that's not a melacha shlema. The akira was fine, but the hanocha was not exactly the hanocha that he had bargained for. His chaver grabbed the object in mid-flight, puts it down. That's a different hanocha. That's not a hanocha that could be related to the zorek. Is Tanya Nami Hochi Achirim Omrim Amad Bimkomo V'Kibel Chayov? Because then we could say that the zorek did a melacha shlema. But akar, komo v'kibel, if the recipient now makes a deliberate hanocha, you know, he intercepts the object in air, in midair, and he makes hanocha, then the zorik is put. Boy, Rabbi Yochanan, zorak chefetz, he throws an object for amasim shesarav nekar humim komo v'rotz akar chefetz because of v'kibel, he himself runs after the object. He must have thrown it quite high into the air. And he grabs the chefetz as it's flying by, and the chefetz didn't have any anocha. Mahu. Which means that the hanocha here, the hanocha here was not the hanocha mikoch hazrika. In other words, the zrika has to have within it, inherent in it, a koach hanoch. We spoke about this at great length when we learned the third parak in Ksuvas Elunas. We were talking about the situation of Kimle b'derabamine. If he was zorik something on Shabbos and he ripped Shiraim Shel Chavero while the arrow, let's say, was in flight, whether he Kimle b'derabamine means he's potter from paying compensation on the kalim that he ripped while the flight was underway. And we said that there's a loch of akira litzarch hanocha, that the akira itself has the inherit within it the hanocha, as opposed to a person who was zorik and he didn't expect it to land 4 amas away. So here's a very strange case, because on one side of the equation, the ultimate anoch was not the anoch that was inherent in the zrika. There was no potential for that anoch. But on the other hand, we're saying that a person can be chai for a zrika and a anoch, and here it's the same person who did the zrika and the anoch. And if 4 amos pass between the zrika and the anoch, he should be chai. So the Gemara says, my Kami Boile. What kind of a suffix is this? How is it possible to say that the Zorik is Potter when he did both the Akira and the Hanocha? The Gemara explains, Omer Avada Barava, Shnei Kochos B'Yodim Echad Kami Boile. The suffix in its Kishkis of Rabbi Yochanan is when a person does a Malach with two Kochos, two different Kochos. In other words, the Chafetz on the one hand did not reach the place that inheres in the zrika, the potential, because he was ma'akev the object midair. So the akira rishona was what you'd call an akira below anocha. And what was Rabbi Yochanan's safek? Shnei kochos b'adam echad kadam echad dami odilma kishnei b'nei adam dami. Do we view two kochos, two pa'ulos that are done by one individual, as if it was adam echad, as if the entire maisa was done through or accomplished by one person and one person only, and he's chayev because he did both the akira and the anocha? Dilma, shall we say, kishnei bnei adam dam, even though it's the same person, but we should consider it as if it was somebody else, and it was therefore zeok meniach, and therefore he's potter from achatos, and the final conclusion is teku, and it becomes an abaya delo ifshito. So let's take a moment to try to understand what the svara is to say that he'd be potter from this case. And again, we're talking about a case where he himself intercepted the object in flight. Tishnei kochos bi'odam echad. So the Gemara thinks he's potter, comparing an analogy to shnei kochos, as if there was Zeoker v'Zemeniach. We have a schizophrenia over here. Why do we split one person into two? And the answer is because the Hanoch was not inherent in the Zrika. The Akira itself had a Hanoch, but it was much further away. Now he intercepts his own Zrika in flight. So the ultimate Hanoch is not the Hanoch that was Vaslikt in the Akira, what was inherent in the Akira. And therefore we read it, we view it as two different people. I mean, the two different parts of this Malach, the Akira and Anocha, so disjointed that one person would be when the Anocha comes Mikoch the Zrika because of the Akira. But in this case, where there was a separate Koch for the Anocha, we should view it as Shnaim Shasu, which is basically what runs throughout an entire Mishnah in the cases where the Zeoker v'Zemeniach, whether it's the Oni, the Balabais, and so forth, is the Hanocha was not done Mikoch the Akira, because there were two people. Here also, the Hanocha is not done Mikoch HaKira. And therefore, it's Shnaim Shasu, basically. And there's no Tziruf here between the Akira and the Hanocha, because this is not the Hanocha that inheres in the Akira. So therefore he would be potter. It's like each one of these two kochos of one person are both considered like a chatzi malacha. It's like a siya b'miktas of a malacha. And what's the tzad to say that for desvegan he should be chayev, even though clearly this hanocha was not the hanocha of the akira? Maybe it means that if one gavra is responsible for both the akira and the hanocha, we don't have to integrate the two. It's integrated by the fact that it's one person. It's not shnaim shasu, but it's yachid v'yososo. And the Braisa gives two reasons, and Rabbi Yochanan's mistopic, which is the Iker reason, is the Iker Ptur because he was only Osa Miktsasa, and here it's a din of Asiya Miktsasa, either Akira or the Anocha, and therefore it's Osa Miktsasa Potter. Or shall we say that Yochid Toli Adovar, the Kanari Yochid Osamalocha. Everything depends upon Yochid, and here it's Yochid. And this, this suffix of Shnei Kochos Vadam Echad is a Baidlo Ifshita. It remains an outstanding suffix, and the Gemara says Teku. And the Rif actually omits the statement here from Yochanan of Omad Bimkom Vekibel Chai Vokam Bimkom Vekimel Potter. He omits the suffix of Yochanan in the case of Okar Hu Bimkom Vekiblo. He leaves this all out in his Piskei Dina. The Rosh, on the other hand, brings the statement of Rabbi Yochanan and the suffix, which ends up in a Teku. And it's a Pella that the Rif leaves this all out. Conscience here between the Rif and the Rosh, that the Rif omits the suffix here of Rabbi Yochanan and the Rosh has it, and some say it's a pell on the Rosh because the Rosh is usually practical b'zmanenu. Here we're talking about a chiyuv chatos, so why does he have to bring the suffix Rabbi Yochanan? And the answer is that there is an afgemina based on what the Rosh himself paskins in the case of madvik pas betanur hitirul oler dosa korm shevli de chiyuv skila. So he was madbik b'shogeg, and nevertheless they were matir redia. So it's going to be an afkibina if a person throws a chayfetz in Rishus HaRabim, he can run after the chayfetz and be oker mimkomo, and catch the chayfetz and be makabalit before it's hanocha. So I would have said that if he possibly can, he should run and grab the object in flight because he wants to prevent a chiyuv chatos. So the Rosh writes this suffix. It's a suffix shelo nifshita, yibay lo nifshita. So therefore, even if he runs to be makabel the chayfetz, it's still a suffix chiyuv chatos. Im kein bechinam posa psia gasa b'shabes. He wasted his time running after something, because in any event, he's going to be chayev a chatos. Or, shall we say, he's in a suffix chayev chatos. Therefore, b'chinam posa psia gasa b'shabes, he violated the mitzvah of Kvod Shabbos that's formulated by Yeshayahu Anovim Perek Nunches, im toshiv mi Shabbos raglecha. And the Gemara is going to dash in this shelo yehili hilucha shel Shabbos kamo hilucha bechol. And this running after something is an iser like redia sapas. And there also it's possible that he'll come to dechiv. So therefore, ein lo heta loritz achar achefetz l'tofso. There's no heter to run after it and violate the iser of hilucha shel chol, hilucha shel Shabbos, because in any event he's going to end up with a suffix. So what does he gain by running after it? I'm not sure why a suffix chiyuv chatos is not enough to allow him to run and catch the chayfetz midair before it does hanocha. On the tzad that it's like two kochos, two bnei adam, and shnayim shasu, so there is a suffix chiyuv chatos. It's an ibay de lo ifshita, and it's a teku. So then let him be oker, because there is a chance that he's violating a chiv chatos. And even though it's in toshiv misheves raglecha, and he's violating this iser psia gasa b'shavas, but nevertheless, we paskin in the previous sug of madbik pach betanur, that we have matter him to do the radia in order to avoid a chiyuv chatos. So is that only in order to avoid a vare chiyuv chatos and not a sofik chiyuv chatos? I'm not sure. Maybe he means because if it's a sofik chiyuv chatos, then you don't bring the chatos at all. There's much space in English kai because it's sofik chulul azara. So since it has no practice, but I would say it's a sofik violation of the Shabbos. I mean, whether it's he's going to bring a korban chatos or not is irrelevant. So for the sake of a sofik Yisur Shabbos, I would allow him both Ridiyas Hapas in that case and Ritza in this case. So maybe that's exactly why the Rush feels compelled to bring the sofik of the Sofik of Rabbi Yochanan in his Piskei Dinim, because the Sofik of Rabbi Yochanan would be relevant to whether or not we're allowing Ritza here to catch the object midair. Okay, this is where we'll stop. So we're up to Omer Rav Ovin, Omer Rabbi Yochanan here on Daf Hey Omer Aleph, and that would be 6 lines up from the bottom.